Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexities of the marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you have any comments you would like to make during this broadcast, please feel free to mail them in to me at bonkay@aol.com. That's bonkaye@aol.com. Before I introduce my guest for tonight, I just want to mention to people that the Healing Weekend is finally coming about, and it's going to be October 23rd here in Philadelphia. I'm really excited. We have a number of women who have already said they want to come, and they are coming from all over the country and sometimes outside of the country for this wonderful weekend. This will be my very last Healing Weekend. So, you know, I know it's going to be a great one here in Philadelphia. So if you are interested in joining me and some wonderful women and changing your life over that weekend, please write to me at bonkay@aol.com. That's bonkaye@aol.com, and put in the headline Healing Weekend, and I will be sending you the information. And like I say, I'm really excited that we're able to do this, and by the time it's happening, COVID should be behind us. You know, hopefully it'll be the best weekend that we've had in a long time because of waiting and the anticipation. Also, before we start tonight, I just want to mention I have some really good shows coming up in the next few weeks. Next week, I'm really excited. We have Dr. Margalis Selstad, who is our guru as far as men who have personality disorders and learning how to work with that. We also have the following week a gay man who's been in a relationship with a straight man very remorsefully, he realizes what a terrible thing it was, and he's going to tell his story. And we'll also be having Mike from Linked Investigations to teach you how to do some better snooping and get some information when you're getting a divorce or when you want to find out information about your husband. So we do have some great shows coming up. But starting tonight, I want to introduce and welcome back one of my favorite people here, Megan. Megan, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Bonnie. Thank you for having me back.
It's always a pleasure. I always get such a good response when you're on the show. Megan, first, I want to thank you so much for participating in our Straightwise Shattered Lives Part 3. Your story was very compelling, as people would tell me and write to me and tell me which stories they liked. They were really wowed by yours and what you had to go through. So for those people who may not have listened to you in the past, we have a lot of new listeners. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about the background of your story, starting with your story.
Okay. I'll try to keep it pretty brief because it's a long story. But basically, I was married for 20 years, and my ex-husband was a lawyer, a politician. He was a judge. He was a lecturer in our church. He had a lot of lives, secret lives going on, I guess you could say, during our marriage. I was totally unaware. We had a family together. We had both been married prior and had children from our prior, one child from each, and then we had a child together. And I thought we were the intact family until about, I'd say, after about 15 years of marriage. The last couple of years were a real struggle. I was a very belligerent, very angry person. There was a total disconnect, and I could not figure out what was going on. He was too much of a coward to basically come forth and tell me that he was having affairs with men and that he had a lover, a male lover, for two and a half years before I actually figured out from some sexting on his phone. And it was a brutal situation. I was one of the lucky ones who found it out. I was able to kick him out of the house. And it was bitter because he was a judge and a lawyer and a divorce attorney on top of it. So we, unfortunately, in a no-fault state, there was a lot of back and forth, and I was fighting an uphill battle until I was able to basically settle. And, it was a very tough situation. It was very, very hard on my kids. And, now I'm moved across the country. I'm starting my life over. My kids are starting their lives over. And I'm finally seeing a light at the end of the tunnel. But it was very tough. And the lack of remorse and the lack of closure is still the thing that I'm struggling with personally.
Let me ask you a question. You said you had 15 pretty good years, right?
Yeah, give or take.
And how old were you when you got married to him?
When we got married, it was both our second marriages. I was 32,
mm-hmm.
And he was 4 years old. And I had been
okay.
married before for 5 years. Yeah, and he had been married also for about 5 years.
In the first 15 years, did you notice anything that wasn't quite right in retrospect now?
I think about that almost every day, to be honest with you. I'm looking for some telltale signs. And once in a while now, things do jump out at me. And I said, oh, that's why he did that. Or that's why he had such great taste. Or that's why he was interested in things that, were very unusual to some extent. There was some odd behavior on his part, but I think
uh-huh.
that whenever he was struggling with his identity, he would kind of almost like find something to distract himself. Like, he'd all of a sudden he'd say, I'm going to run for politics. I'm going to become a judge. Everything was very impulsive, and there were a lot of mood swings and a lot of spontaneous behavior and impulsive behavior is more like it. And,
uh-huh.
And then he'd do things. I'm a lector in the church and, every Sunday he'd give this, the lecture at the church, and everything was done almost like a pretense, and it was over, it was like a display and an act. And it was, that's the thing that became kind of odd to me, that it was overly done and showing off and hiding something. And I didn't know what he was doing. I just thought he was really all of a sudden turning into a real narcissist. And I thought he was on an ego trip. I thought it might have been just like more of a midlife crisis that he was trying to prove himself, you know. And fascinated with his physique, you know, always at the gym, always working out, always looking in the mirror. That was more of the last couple of years when I think he was acting on his sexuality.
How about the intimacy in your marriage?
I think in the beginning, I would say it was wonderful. We had a very intimate marriage, and you know, I was gun shy because I had been married before, and it was not a good situation. So I took things very slowly, I would say, and I built up a trust, and he knew that I was very gun shy and that I wasn't in any rush to get into another relationship. And it took me years to establish any form of trust. And that was really, you know, that's the part that really also hurt me terribly, because I had a child that was involved in this, and, you know, and he became attached to my husband, you know, my second husband. And, you know, it's like everyone's lives were turned upside down because of what he did to us. It was just all a facade. You know, it was a whole deception.
Did you find any other kind of deception going on in retrospect later on that you didn't see during those earlier years?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I'd say that when we were going through the actual divorce process, there were obviously things that came up. I recently moved, and I was going through some old paperwork and old files, and I found quite a few things that took me by surprise. You know, more of a just irresponsibility on his part and not truthful to some extent, and, you know, just not as honest as I would have, you know, as I would have hoped, you know. And I guess the fact that he'd been cheating on me and had relationships with men, had a boyfriend for 3 years, is like, I mean, and he would have never, he admitted very openly to me in writing after I figured it all out that he would never, he basically would have done it all. I would have done exactly what I had done all over again. I would have lived my life. I was turning 60 years old, and I wanted to display my manhood, just kind of, I guess it's a little bit of an oxymoron, I mean, manhood, but he's having, you know, an affair with a man. So there's a lot of deception there. But honestly, in the first 10 years, I would say, I really thought he was a wholesome, kind of trustworthy person. But there was also things in his career that came out. I mean, being a criminal defense attorney and a divorce attorney, I mean, not to be judgmental, there's a lot of things going on in court that I was like, wow, I can't believe you could defend that person after what he did. And that was a little bit, to me, that did bother me. From a moral standpoint, there were certain things that he did that morally did trouble me, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
did
but
you,
I only looked
point,
in
it. Let's say in the first 15 years, at any point, did you think he was cheating on you?
No. I mean, maybe I was in denial because I knew that I had been married before my first husband had cheated with me with a woman, and I was so gun-shy, and he knew my whole story. And the only thing that was a little peculiar is that when I had said, you know, I'm very hard for me to trust a man again because of what had happened to me in my first marriage, instead of being emotionally supportive, he was more like, well, just get over it already, and I don't want to talk about it, and move on. And it's funny because now looking back on that, I think, you know, wow, he probably was, you know, also hiding his identity. I mean, he's been hiding this for his whole life, you know, and he didn't want to divulge it, and he didn't want to talk about it. And his, you know, there was a lot, looking at it and analyzing it a little more clearly now that it's been 4 years that I've been that I'm done and I moved. I'm kicked him out of the house and we got divorced 3 years ago. I'm seeing things a little more clearly than I was. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm. What do you see now that you didn't see then?
Well, I'm seeing signs that there was something wrong, that I was in denial. And I look at, you know, not to compare, but I do look at some of my friends' relationships or the relationship that my parents had when my mom was alive. And it was a totally different sort of marriage. It was based on fact and trust and honesty. And I feel like now I'm realizing that I was constantly being talked down to, ridiculed to some extent, yelled at, especially in the last, you know, as I mentioned, the last 5 years when he was out and about, you know, cheating. But there was always a resentment. There was always a real sense of insecurity. And whenever I did something or one of my kids did something that was, you know, something that would be like, oh, that's fantastic, I'm so proud of you, that's great, it was more of a, it was always a put down. Like, you know, almost jealousy to some extent. And that's something I realize now, that I was really like a prisoner. I mean, it's hard because you're not like physically abused, but the emotional abuse was definitely there. And my kids saw it because there was constant yelling and constant belittling. And a lot of times I just thought, well, he just got off of a trial and he's coming home and he's taking it out on me. And, you know, I'll just have to let it go because it's work related and he's stressed out. So I was always like giving him excuses for his erratic behavior and his mood swings, you know.
That was interesting. I've talked to several women this week at different points of the week who have, you know, husbands or ex-husbands who have behavior issues, who have personality disorders. And even when the marriage is over, they just keep staying there and torturing you. I'm not saying in the same house, but they'll go out of their way to try to trip you up. You know, they don't let things go smoothly. They just can't end things nicely. Now, was that a situation for you too?
Well, I have to be honest. I have to completely, and I have absolutely no contact with him. And I settled pretty quickly, and I was able to move across the country. And, you know, as far as our whole family was broken up, I chose to just cut all ties with him. And we have no connection whatsoever at all. Like,
You know, some women just can't do it because they don't let you.
Right. I feel very, very blessed that I was able to completely cut all ties with him, because I don't think I could have handled his manipulation, his abuse, his, you know, it would have been, the last 2 years, you know, fighting in court and out of court and him screaming and yelling, there was never one moment that he ever had the decency to say to me, I am so sorry that I put you and our family through this, and I will do whatever I need to make it right for you and our children. I mean, it was, our whole family was broke up, and financially and every other respect, he handled it 100% wrong. And I have no respect. It's terrible. I have a lot of hatred, and I have no respect for him whatsoever because of the way he handled it. All the gay stuff aside, and the deception and all that, there was a much better way of handling 20 years of marriage with a family and children. You know, it was terrible.
Exactly. And that's what I say. Sometimes it has nothing to do with the gay part of it, because there are some very gay, decent people. It has nothing to do with that. But, all the other stuff, all the other parts of your personality disorders, the narcissism, sometimes, you know, sociopathy, psychopathy, all different degrees and extremes, that wouldn't matter if it was a straight husband or a gay husband. You know, it's the behaviors that just seep into their relationships and just destroy everything, because they can't be decent people. Would you agree with that?
Well, that's the part I'm really struggling with, is that I do believe there was more of a personality disorder. I do think, you know, he was either a sociopath or a psychopath. I'm still not sure which one, because of the lack of remorse and the way he handled it. That, to me, is my biggest struggle. It's not the fact that he's gay. I mean, the fact he's gay, yeah, it blows my mind because I'm straight and I was married to a We have a family. We have children together. I mean, and wow, like, how did that happen? I was 20 years. Why didn't I see the signs? You know, what was wrong? Like, I could, but it's more of the thing that I think about almost daily is how could he live with himself? How could he sleep at night knowing that he's done this? And only a person with no empathy, no remorse, that person has to have something. There's got to be something more there, and it's got to be psychopath or sociopath. I'm not sure quite what the difference is. I've been trying to figure that out, but he doesn't have any sense of responsibility or concern or care. And 20 years is a long time, especially when you have kids together. To just walk away from it all is amazing.
I think they're very able to compartmentalize everything and put it into different boxes and justify whatever they're doing as being okay. But I think for the most part, these men are really angry because of the fact they don't want to be in these marriages. And even though they're the ones who asked you to get married and they're the ones who wanted to get married, then they became trapped. You know, that's what my ex-husband used to tell me all the time. He feels trapped. And I never, of course, I didn't know he was gay when he was telling me that in the beginning. And I couldn't understand, why would a husband feel trapped if I'm just trying to be a good wife and spend time with him? You know, what's the trap part of this? Don't couples spend their time together? And it wasn't my first marriage either. You know, I'd been married previously also, so it wasn't that I didn't believe necessarily what he was saying, but he was so convincing of what he was saying. And it was really so disappointing to me that our value system, when it came to a relationship, was so off-keel. And so, but once again, with the gaslighting, or as I call it, gay-lighting, you know, lying all the time and making you think that you're the one who's crazy and it's your fault. They're not at fault for anything because they take no blame for anything, including ending the marriage. They feel that, you know, they stayed there 20 years in your case. He did his duty, you know, he did what he was supposed to do, and now it's time for him to live his life.
Right. And you know, and it's using the people around, that are surrounding you. You know, it's using your wife, using your children, using your religion, you know, using your friends to some extent to hide. And, you know, it was, you know, when I say something, it's like, you're smothering me, or you're trapped, or they feel trapped, like you said, or you're smothering, or you're too, the thing I used to always hear was, like, I'd get upset about something and get emotional because of the way he was treating me, and he'd say, you're just overly sensitive, you know, or, you know, he'd say to my kids, like, listen to her, she cries at the drop of the hat, she just, everything bothers her, she's so overly sensitive, like, you know, something's wrong with you. And then it was always like, there's something wrong with you. You should go get, you know, you should go talk to somebody because you need help. Like, that whole gap thing is really, it's just terrible. And it's so true. I mean, terrible. Manipulation is really one of the worst things.
And the more they keep saying it, the sad part is the more you start believing it. Because when you're told the same thing over and over and over again, I mean, I know I doubted myself. And I thought, maybe I am imagining this. Maybe I am crazy. Maybe I'm not seeing what's in front of my eyes. You know, it was one thing after another thing after another. And it's day in and day out. It's not something that just happens once in a while. It's a total deterioration.
Right.
Would you agree with that?
It's a daily occurrence. It's like, you know, you're too sensitive. You're imagining things. It's exactly what you said. When you hear it day in and day out, you doubt the debt. You know, it takes away from your self-esteem and your self-worth, and you begin to doubt yourself, you know. I mean, I feel that, honestly, now that I'm out of the marriage and I've moved across the country and my kids and I are in a much better place and I'm making new friends and developing new relationships with people, I feel like I'm free, you know, and I have my moments and I look back and I feel the pain, but at the same time, I'm like, I was held a prisoner and I was being put down. And that's the other part that's just so terrible, because it, you know, they're doing this because they're angry with themselves, because they're trying to live their life, like you said, but they're taking it out at our expense. And at, you know, and we're the beer and their kids, and they're taking it out at everyone else's expense but their own, you know, because they can't come to terms with who they really are.
How do your kids feel about him?
You know, I let them make their own judgment calls. They're old enough. They're in their 20s. I try to keep my opinion out of it, and I really try not to talk about it. They know how I feel. They know that I wrote in the book. They know that I do podcasts. I think that, you know, and they're boys. So I think boys tend to just say they want me to be happy, and they want me to move on. They see that I'm happy and that I'm moving on and that I'm doing things that I enjoy doing. They are in a much better frame of mind, and they don't want to get into the emotional nitty gritty. And I get that, you know, they're two kids in their 20s who have their own lives to lead. And I'm, you know, so proud of them that they're doing great. They're doing what they want to do in their life and they're living their lives. And as I said, that we're all so far apart from, you know, we're totally creating a new life for ourselves. Let's put it that way. And I think that's the only way that we could all do this, is basically to move across the country and start our lives over. And that's what we all did. We're all doing our own thing, and we're all far away from we're far away from the evil, and we're far away from the anger. And it's a much better place to be. Like, I can't imagine having younger children.
It is a much better place to be, but let's be honest, there is damage that is done.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you can't just walk away from that, you know, with children growing up in that kind of an environment, right?
Right, right. And, you know, there's going to be milestones, there's going to be events that are going to occur, and it's going to be interesting to see how they all pan out. You know, I mean, so far I've been able to escape a lot of, you know, I haven't really had any confrontation. I haven't had any reason to have any encounters or any, you know, which has been great. But, you know, I don't know what the future is going to bring. No one knows what the future is going to bring. I never think we go through a whole year of a pandemic. But I have to say, honestly, in my opinion, going through this was worse than going through the last year that we all had to go through. I mean, it blows your mind sometimes. It's like, how did this happen? Why did it happen? And what's the future? Like, it's like you said, like, what? Who knows what's going to happen and, you know, in 5 years from now, and, you know, but I made up my mind, you know, I know that I need to just move on and get as far away from him as possible.
I will say, I truly admire the fact that you have the ability to say that was the end of the marriage. Now it's over and I'm not going to be talking to him again. I was having that conversation earlier with one of our wonderful women, and I said that was my biggest mistake. I let it drag on and on because a lot of times these guys who are narcissists, they want to grab onto you. And I remember for many years, you know, my ex-husband stayed in touch with me for far too long, and, you know, it's true, we lost two children, so I was in a very devastating place mentally. And he did take advantage of the fact by telling me every day, for all we have left of our children. You know, he knew how to manipulate the situation. And I let him do it for a number of years. Every day I had to be tortured by him, yelling at me and screaming at me, until I finally said, this is so ridiculous. I'm not married to this man for years. Our children are gone. You know, why am I still talking to him? And I told him, he did something really bad to one of my friends. You know, it had nothing even to do with me. But when I saw how he hurt somebody so purposely, and I said to him, you know what, this is done. We are done. I don't want to hear from you again. I don't want to hear your voice again. I am blocking you. And, you know, it was wonderful 2.5 years of total, you know, that I didn't even have to think about at any given level. Then, of course, you know, I always say that we always have to fight our own devils. I did go back to talk to him during his last year that he was alive because he was dying from cancer. So I felt that I can't be him. You know, our children aren't here. I would have some compassion and help him. But those 2.5 years when I did talk to him, it was the best time. And that's why I admire what you've done because, you know, if you can cut yourself free, you don't have to be on the same ship with them sinking all the time because these guys will be very happy just to grab you and grind you. You know, they need an audience and you're it. And because we're empaths and we're compassionate, and that's one of the lessons we'll talk to Dr. Felsett about next week. When you're an empath, like most of us are, because most of us are, you know, how do you move on with guys who are just so controlling and trying to grab you? And that's why I really admire the fact that you cut yours off and you don't have to have any contact and you don't feel any remorse about it, correct?
Absolutely not. It was the best decision I've made. And honestly, it's really helped me. It's helped my sanity. It's helped me, as I said, me to move on. It's helped my children to be in a better place. And I think, you know, part of the reason why I was able to cut all my ties is, you know, I was always had a connection to the West Coast anyway because of my family. So it was kind of, I was going back and forth anyway because of my family situation. But so it was easier physically and, you know, emotionally. But also I think the fact that he, you know, admitted that he had a lover and a relationship, you know, with a man for close to 3 years and he was hiding it from us. You know, in addition to other relationships, but this one was, I think, a real, I don't know what their status is. I have no idea. But, you know, I think it was easier for him to pull the trigger.
Did he apologize to you at all?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I think he was relieved. I have to be honest. I think he was relieved when the day came and I finally just said, get out of this house. And I want you out. And I think when, you know, when the dam broke and, you know, we went to a third party, a marriage counselor, after I got back from California and my mom was, you know, very ill and I was going back and forth. It was a terrible time and he never apologized. He never acknowledged my mother's death. And I think he was relieved. I really do. I think he was just happy to know that now he was had his freedom. You know, he wanted me, he didn't have the guts and he was too much of a coward to be the one to come straight with me. And the fact that I was able to kick a lawyer and a judge out of the house was pretty amazing. Uh-huh. And he willfully left and got an apartment and he was on a roll. I mean, he couldn't wait to buy a house and decorate it and move in with the boyfriend. And I mean, they had it all planned. And that's the other part that's really, really pretty upsetting is, you know, he had it all planned and he couldn't come straight and sit down with me and my family and say, you know, this is what I've done and I'm going to take care of you people financially, emotionally. I'm going to do what I can. Instead, he was proud of it and, you know, parading around and he hasn't skipped a beat. I mean, he's still the judge. He still goes to the local bars. He's in the middle of town, which is, you know, it's the whole thing is a charade. But, you know, that's the life he chose, and it was all a cover-up. And as I said, I think I was lucky because he had a life. He had totally moved on years ago.
Yeah, I think that's a good part of it also, and they have somebody else. We'll leave you alone for a while. Let me ask you this. How did he approach you to start with when he gave you the news?
I'm sorry, how did he?
How did he come and tell you?
Oh, he did not tell me. I had seen something on his phone that I was puzzled by, and it was something not even related to his boyfriend. It was just sexting with a guy at the gym, and I kept it, and I had to fly out to California, and I knew that it wasn't the right time to talk about it, and I had to get a marriage counselor, somebody, a third party involved, because I knew he would just talk over, you know, he would deny it and it was going to get ugly and he was going to scream. Yeah. So I basically just kind of said, I know there's something going on. I don't want to discuss it. And I got back and we had an appointment with this marriage counselor that we had gone to see once before. And I put it right out. I basically just said, come, you know, I want you to come clean. I want you to tell me what's going on. I want you to tell me why you hate me so much, why you're so bitter, why you're so angry, and why you feel that we should no longer be married. Because he had said, I think we should get a divorce, but he couldn't specify the rationale. And that's when he just came, he goes, well, I don't know. I don't think we should be together anymore. And that's when I showed him the thing on the phone. And then one thing led to another, and he said, oh, that's nothing. That's just some conversation with someone. And he said, he basically admitted, he said, I'm gay, and I have a boyfriend for years, and I have lovers. And he came clean. I mean, he just came right out and said it, and it was like, what's for dinner? It was so matter of fact. And the counselor, like, his jaw dropped, and he said, I can't believe this conversation. He basically said, and he was a psychiatrist, very good marriage counselor. And he said, I can't believe what I'm hearing. And and then it was the end of the session, and I walked outside. We had two separate cars, and I honestly thought I was going to have a heart attack. But I had to stay strong. I had to continue my day. I had to go home and, you know, make dinner for my kids, and that was it. And that was the end. And we never talked about it after that. You know, at one point, my child had he was in the hospital for something, and he showed up, and I basically said, you know, I can't believe it. I'm in shock. I can't believe you have a boyfriend. And he took a picture of him and showed it to me. And he said, this is him. And I said, are you in love with him? He said, bragging. Yeah. And he was doing that around town. I mean, he was showing him off. He was taking him to barbecues. I mean, this is before we were even divorced. This was like when my son was still in high school. He was taking him around to parties and barbecues and, you know, and he was a kid in high school. It was terrible. It was terrible. Everything he did was just for the sake of showing off. And, you know, he had a coming out party, all that stuff. You know, it was all going on.
Really sad.
Skip a beat. Yeah.
And that's what the whole thing is. If they could just be decent about it, I think a lot of us, because we are understanding women, we would say, okay, you made a mistake. You know, this is very hurtful to me, but we have to sit down and talk about how we can move on. We have children together, so let's find a way that works for both of us so that children are damaged, that, you know, the damage from me is, you know, less. And, you know, what can we do to try to make this better? And I think that many women would be able to live with that if the men would make an attempt to do that, but I just don't see that happening. I see in almost all cases that, you know, they're angry, they're bitter, they feel they've given you the best of their life, and now they want their life back, and, you know, you've been taking it from them, that, you know, this is not the way they wanted to live. They did you a favor. I mean, I think it's their whole thinking patterns are so screwed up.
Right. Well, that's the thing. I think you've brought this up before. It's like they don't think straight. The gay men do not think straight. And
no, they don't.
And, you know, if a man has an affair with a woman and they get divorced, it's hard enough. But at least you can understand it to some extent, and you can explain it to your children. But when, you know, you're married for 20 years and you know, you're married, and he was married before to a straight woman also, like, how does this happen, and how do you explain it to your kid? That, once again, there's nothing wrong with being gay, but they shouldn't have to figure it out when they're 60 years old and act on it when they're 60 years old, and not explain it to your kids or your family, and just come out and be happy about your new life, whether they're happy or not. I don't think they know what they are, but it's that extra added dimension of, like, trying to understand it. And, like, you know, you've asked me several times, and I think about it all the time, like, why didn't I see the signs? Like, I honestly had no idea, you know.
You're not the only one, trust me.
Right. That's the part I'm trying to understand. Yeah.
Other women have the same issue. And, you know, I guess he was busy, and it was an okay marriage. It wasn't horrible. It was, you know, for the first 10, 15 years, things seemed pretty normalized. You know, he
right.
was probably busy a lot, so he probably was out a lot and always had a good reason.
Right.
He's probably
right.
out cheating on you during all that whole time. But once
right.
again,
and,
able to fool you
right.
into and that. It, in retrospect, do you see that happening?
Yeah. Well, I think also the stereotypical thing is his father, who he, you know, was an Italian, very controlling
uh-huh.
father figurehead, you know, who he worked for 36 years, you know, when he passed away is when, you know, when he came out, he was acting on it, you know, he was cheating beforehand, but that's when he actually came out. And you probably know better than me, but I read so much about that, and that happens time
uh-huh.
and time again. You know,
yeah,
especially
when you come from a family with strong religious beliefs, where the father
right.
is the strong influence on the family, and you don't want your father to be disappointed. You don't want to
right.
see, you know, you feel like your mother could understand it better, but your father never will. And so a lot of these
exactly.
guys wait until their fathers pass away, and that's when they
right.
take their lives back and start, you know, acting out publicly. Not
right.
to say they weren't
right.
doing it privately before.
Right. Exactly. I mean, it's a textbook case of that's exactly what the timing shows that that's exactly what happened. You know?
Mm-hmm. Very typical for somebody who's your, you know, husband's age and growing up in,
right.
you know, during the time that we did, and, you know, the values. And when you come from a Catholic Italian family,
right.
that's something that's not very acceptable back then.
Right.
It's
Absolutely.
Not that acceptable now, but back then it was
right.
definitely not acceptable. So.
Right.
I'm not saying no. I'm not saying I don't understand. I understand it all. I just don't like it because, once
okay.
again, the women are left shorthanded here. I mean, I feel sympathy
mm-hmm.
for the men. You know, I know that they're going through a big struggle. But I always say, you know, that's no reason to take somebody down with you. And that's how
right.
I feel. I feel that
right.
they're just taking us
right.
down with them. And because they're not happy, they have to drag us along on the ride. And then they resent us for making them unhappy because they dragged us into it to start with, which doesn't make any sense at all, right?
Right, right. Well, I've said this, you know, I guess I said this when I wrote it in your book and stuff, but they're, you know, they portray themselves as the victim, you know, and
right.
they have all
totally.
The support said so many times. And that's the other thing that really troubles me is like, they're the victim. They were struggling their whole life with their identity. They finally come to terms with it. They have a going out party. Everyone is singing their, you know, accolades and praising them for being having the ability to live their lives. You know, at 60 years
uh-huh.
old, you know, they should have. They're fifth, you know, a lot younger, and you know, and they have all the support they need, and they have the, you know, they have the parades, they have the groups, they have the bars they can go to, and I think, you know, Where do we have, what kind of, besides your, like, healing weekend and your websites and your Facebook pages.
Right,
just
hearing
and
us
all,
on.
Everything.
Exactly.
There's nothing
nobody's
for us.
Nobody's hearing
you know,
for us. Nobody, we're the ones who
no.
should be getting the accolade saying,
right.
look what you survived
right.
all these years. Look at all the abuse you had to take all these years. But nobody cares about the straight wife. You know,
nobody
it's
cares.
It's just a phenomenon
no.
to me at all. That they
no.
feel like we're self-made victims. This is how people perceive us.
Right.
Right.
And it's, right, oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's funny, especially now here out in California, you know, there's a lot of gays, and there's gays everywhere. But it's as I said, there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know,
mm-hmm.
if people say, oh, are you married, divorced? I say, yeah, you know, I'm divorced, and my husband came out. And it's kind of like they don't, think of it like any that happens all the time. People do that happens
yeah.
all the time. My friend happens it's not, and I'm not saying that I'm looking for sympathy. That's not what I'm looking. I'm looking for support or, you know, understanding. That.
Understanding. Right. We don't look for sympathy. We're looking for understanding, but we're not getting
yeah.
it.
Right.
Anyway, I hate
right.
to tell you, but we're at the end of our show. It's now been cut to 45
okay.
minutes. But I want to thank
right.
you so much for being a guest, and I hope you'll come back before the end of the summer, and we'll talk about some of the issues that you have to go through in rebuilding your life. That's really an important part of this as far
Very
as,
important.
You know, how to move on and get to the next step. So
Absolutely.
I know that I can always count on you to join me, right?
I would love to do that. Let's move forward.
Yeah, well,
Think
I appreciate
positive.
It so much.
Thank you, Bonnie.
And
I look forward to hearing your
Thank you so much,
too.
Megan, for joining the show tonight, and ladies out there. I look forward to talking to you next week with Dr. Felstad. Tune in and listen for some really good hard advice. All right. Love to all of you, and have a wonderful week. Megan, again, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Good night, everybody. Bye-bye.